I view time as just a point of reference for us as human beings. It's linear in our frame of reference. We think of the past, we think of the future, it's a straight line. However, I have followed along with, but changed a little bit, of Einstein's theory of relativity in the sense that he believes that gravity affects time. I said this earlier, and that if you go out far enough in the universe, you'll see the curvature of space taking place. The gravity is curving space and therefore curving time itself. So if you take that and you say, well, perhaps you could go far enough in that distance that you would see the curvature coming full circle and forming not only a circle, but what I consider to be a sphere. I believe that our measurable frame of reference that we call our universe is actually spherical, that we reside within a sphere. And therefore, time, if it's part of that spherical structure, as Einstein is describing it, being bent by gravity, that time is cyclical. It's a circular motion, and that it will repeat. If we take that down to our everyday existence and we look at the short span of human history, we see that cycle. Some people call it poetry, but we see that repetition of history that takes place. We see that physically, we see that philosophically, and even theologically, that repetition. So I believe that the universe is actually a sphere, and therefore you cannot necessarily go back in time. I do believe it's always a forward motion, but you theoretically could go forward into the future. Now, some people have said that perhaps that's what CERN is doing, the LHC, that it's manipulating time. Some want to say it's manipulated the past in the form of the mandala effects that we've been hearing about lately. But certainly I think that there's a higher probability that you could at least step somewhere into the near future, time-wise. But I don't believe you can go back in time. Dr. Farrell, I hold as sort of my mentor at large. I've learned an awful lot from him, and he's shown me how to research as well through his publications. But really, to get to the nub of the issue, I agree. Time is, I think, a reflection of the observation that takes place by us as a human. We're observing a quantum state. We're observing the change of energy to a particle. When we observe something, we change its state. We change its nature. And therefore, we're fixing it in a point in time. Again, because in our limited minds, in our limited intellect, we have to have something tangible that we can define our reality by. And we do that through time. So I agree with what you're saying. I agree with what Tesla's saying. In fact, when we talk about the model of the universe being spherical in my model, it is not so much gravity, even though I said that, because that's what people are more familiar with, is Einstein's work versus Tesla's. I'm in agreement with Tesla, because gravity, if you take one unit of gravity, if we want to talk about a graviton as a particle, its power as compared to the electromagnetic forces of attraction, electromagnetic lines of force, electromagnetism, which is what Tesla was so focused on, and that's the basis of his research, electromagnetism, one unit of that, is 10 to the 37th power stronger than gravity. So on a one-to-one representation, gravity is 10 to the 37th power weaker than the electromagnetic lines of force that exist in the plasma environment of the universe. I think what Tesla was trying to describe for us was the fact that time is affected by the electromagnetic forces of the universe. Picture a magnet attracting time. Now that's hard for us to really conceptualize or put into a set of tools to measure that, but I believe that time is affected by the charge states. And I'm going to define that even further. If you take a planet, let's say, we'll talk about Saturn perhaps later in our discussion, but just for the point of reference, let's say that Saturn has a negative charge. Its overall makeup is a negative magnetic charge. And let's say that the Earth is positive. Well, if you take two magnets like that and bring them into close proximity, they're going to attract one another. If you have that ability to do that with time, that perhaps time has a charge, if it's an opposite charge to a planet like Saturn, let's say time is positive and Saturn is overall negative, that the time as it moves past Saturn or as Saturn moves through time could actually change or manipulate, perhaps slow down or accelerate time, depending on the proximity of that time wave. Now, time, we can't really say it's a wave. We can't really say it's a particle. It's more a form of measurement. But if we're going to say that it has a state of existence, let's say it's a wave. And if that wave of time moves past Saturn, perhaps it's initially accelerated because of dissimilar charges. And as it moves past Saturn, it slows down. When we talk about vast distances and two particles that are connected through quantum entanglement, I almost want to lean towards the direction of taking time out of the discussion entirely. Mm-hmm. I think that they're operating not just at a speed that is faster than the speed of light, thus violating the theory of relativity and Einstein saying that nothing can move faster than the speed of light, and I'm being very paraphrased with that. I think you have to be talking about instantaneous states. In other words, there is no time reference that's necessary when you're describing that communication that's taking place between two quantum entangled particles. They're behaving simultaneously because there is no time in this equation. They're just happening. They're just behaving in an identical fashion at the same moment without time even being a limiting factor or even a defining factor. We said earlier you cannot separate the physical from the spiritual and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Many people have discussed the theory or the idea that spiritual beings operate in an existence in which time is irrelevant. When we talk about God and time, from a Christian point of view, certainly from God's perspective, time is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. The only reason it becomes relevant is because we're mere mortals and we operate in a physical realm, and that requires us to have some form of point of reference. It just happens to be time, but it really is irrelevant in the greater scheme of the universe. Now, there's a lot that we can say about the quantum computer in terms of the specific one that I'm talking about utilizes quantum bits or qubits in replacing transistors. So we have to define a quantum computer. In this case, it's a qubit-based computer. Now, how that operates, there are multiple points of discussion on the mechanics of it, but to go to your point of non-locality and instantaneous behavior of two identical particles at a distance, as well as entities or spirits in another dimension, let's define dimension in terms of how this computer operates. Think of an oscilloscope, and on the screen you have a waveform. You have a peak. So at the base you have a wide base. At the top you have a point. You have a wave, a spike that goes up and goes down. In the quantum world, there's a thing called quantum tunneling, in which in our dimension, we are able to send a signal. Let's call it a quantum particle, just for the sake of discussion. A quantum particle in our dimension is sent through the base of that spike. It does that by tunneling through rather than going all the way to the top of the spike and then back over the top and down to the other side into the other dimension. It takes a shortcut. It's kind of the brute force approach to communicating with another dimension. through quantum tunneling, in which this quantum particle moves through the base of that spike into that other dimension, to the other side of that spike. That's how the quantum computer, the adiabatic quantum computer, operates. This is also what the Large Hadron Collider is attempting to do in the realm of the Higgs field. If we're going to appreciate or accept the description or definition of a field as being a Higgs field, it is actually tunneling through that Higgs field to another dimension to establish that line of communication. You need that open doorway, you need that open line of communication, that tunneling, to be constant, to be fixed. When you're using a quantum computer, you're using very short periods of time in which the tunneling takes place. It is extracting the solution to a problem, to a combinatorial equation, obtaining that solution from the other dimension, the other side, and then that extraction takes place through the reverse quantum tunneling through that spike, in other words, the dimensional barrier, and that equation, the solution to it, returns to us in our dimension. At the quantum level, that computer is operating identically to how the Large Hadron Collider is attempting to operate at a macro scale to establish a fixed tunneling or portal process of two-way communication. So you have now the ability, utilizing the machine, to communicate to the spiritual world, which is on the other side of that spike, that barrier between the dimensions, that ability to fix with a machine an open tunnel.